Welcome to the May 21st, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. Bitcoin has been in a horizontal and volatile trading range since Sunday. It's trading between support at $7,600 and resistance at $8,300. That $8,300 resistance has actually been in place since June 2018. In July 2018, there was a rally from $6,200 up to $8,300, and that's where it stopped. So this resistance has actually been in place for about a year now. And it is the key level to watch to see if Bitcoin could continue its bull run. As for support, there is support at $7,600, and that's the important level to watch to see if Bitcoin's going to turn bearish again. And then there's support below that at $7,000. That was the level that was hit when that flash crash happened on Thursday, when Bitstamp went all at once from like $7,700 down to $6,200, but it stabilized really quick around $7,300. On Bitfinex, they went down to about $7,000. So $7,000 is that really strong support level, and then $7,600 has been the support that's been holding over the past few days. Right now, Bitcoin is trading near $7,900 after declining as low as $7,800 around 7 or 8 a.m. Eastern time this morning. And before that, Bitcoin was just over $8,000 during the early morning hours. Moving on to the rest of the market analysis. Since 24 hours ago, Bitcoin is up 2%. And since most of the other altcoins follow Bitcoin, the rest of the crypto market is generally in the green. Ethereum is up 2.5% near $252. Ripple's up 2% near 40 cents. Bitcoin Cash is up 5.8%. It's near $420. EOS is up 1.9% at $6.26. Litecoin is up 1.1% near $91. Binance Coin is up 3.7%, once again reaching new all-time highs. These aren't just 2019 highs for Binance Coin. It's at its all-time high now, approaching $30. Stellar is up 0.5%. Cardano is up 3.4%. Tron is up 4.5%. Monero is up 2.3% near $88. Dash is up 0.3% near $163. And yesterday, Dash was the most profitable crypto. IOTA is up 2.8%, just over 40 cents. Tezos is up 0.3%. Cosmos is down 1.1%, still under $5 right now. NEO is up 8.6%. NEO is like Asian Ethereum, and it was doing well yesterday, and it continues to do well today. And then Dogecoin is up 2.3%. So it's a green day on the crypto markets this morning. Bitcoin is not at its 2019 highs, but it is higher than it was 24 hours ago. Bitcoin was around $7,700 24 hours ago, even though if you zoom out, like I said in the beginning of the market analysis, it's kind of like sideways and volatile over the past 3 days. But still, if you take the 24-hour change, Bitcoin is up, and that's probably why most of the cryptos are in the green. Currently, the total crypto market cap is $249 billion. That's 149% above the bear market low in December. During the bear market low, the total crypto market cap was $100 billion, and Bitcoin was at $3,100. So the crypto market has made great progress. In fact, cryptocurrency and Bitcoin especially is the most profitable asset in 2019, more profitable than stocks, bonds, or precious metals, or anything. Bitcoin has exceeded them all. And that has a lot to do with, because it has a lot of room to recover from that bear market in 2018, of course, but it's also looking pretty bullish the past couple of months. So I saved the craziest part of the market analysis for last, and it's also our first story of the day. At 8 a.m. this morning, Bitcoin SV was at $62, and that's no different than it was over the past weeks, pretty much. It went up a little during this bull run the past month or two, but it's been doing worse than the rest of the market, pretty much, because Bitcoin SV has had some problems due to being delisted from Binance and Kraken after Craig Wright was attacking people on Twitter and saying he's going to sue them, because people on Twitter were saying he's not Satoshi, and Craig Wright adamantly claims he is Satoshi, and he threatens people with lawsuits when they say he is not, pretty much. And that's caused an uproar in the crypto space, and that took away from Bitcoin SV's value until now. So at 8 a.m., Bitcoin SV was at $62, and then at 9 a.m., it was at $140. That's an epic pump, up 125% in an hour. Right now, Bitcoin SV has pulled back a bit, and it's only 9:40 a.m., so remember, this is happening all in like the past couple hours. Now it's only up 80%, so at its highest point, it went from $62 to $140, and now it's at $112 or so. So why did this happen? Well, Craig Wright copyrighted Bitcoin, believe it or not. There are two copyrights. Craig Wright copyrighted Bitcoin's code, and then he copyrighted the Bitcoin white paper by Satoshi Nakamoto. In the copyright forms, Craig Wright says that his pseudonym has been Satoshi Nakamoto, like he claims on Twitter all the time, but he has not proven. So just to be clear, the community has asked Craig Wright to prove that he is Satoshi by sending a message with a private key that would be associated with Satoshi. So let's say the Genesis block, like if Craig Wright took the private key from the Genesis block and signed a message, that would be irrefutable proof that he is Satoshi. But he has not done that, probably because he is not. It would be very surprising if he is Satoshi, because the real Satoshi Nakamoto would never copyright Bitcoin or the white paper like this. This is an aggressive move. The whole point of a copyright is so if anyone's using Bitcoin's code, and there's a lot of projects using Bitcoin's code. In fact, the altcoins generally stemmed from Bitcoin. In the very beginning, they started forking from Bitcoin's code and modifying it a bit and using it themselves for their own projects, and it still continues to this day. There's many forks of Bitcoin, and a lot of even the major cryptocurrencies have some of Bitcoin's original code in them. And so now Craig Wright says he owns that code and he could sue anyone that uses that code. And the white paper, which is widely distributed across the internet, the white paper established Bitcoin. It laid out the plans for Bitcoin, and it's the most famous paper in the cryptocurrency space. Craig Wright has now copyrighted that. So now Craig Wright could sue anyone that uses the Bitcoin white paper on their website and stuff. And here's the crazy thing about copyrights. It's not like a patenting process. So when you patent something, the patent office investigates it for a long time. It takes like a year or two to patent anything, even if you've got a patent lawyer. Well, copyright, you just register a form, and like the copyright office registers it for you, and there's no investigation. So there's literally no investigation for Craig Wright to claim Bitcoin and the white paper as his copyrighted stuff. So anyone really could have copyrighted Bitcoin, but no one has done this because it's a very immoral thing to do. So above anything else, it's extremely immoral to try to claim ownership of Bitcoin and the white paper and try to prevent people from using it and to sue them. So this is just like a really greedy and aggressive thing to do on Craig Wright's part. By the way, looking at the copyright registration, he initiated this in April, so now it's coming to fruition just over a month later. And Craig Wright states that he plans on transferring this copyright over to the Bitcoin Association, which is actually Bitcoin SV, pretty much. So he's going to give the Bitcoin copyright to Bitcoin SV. And Bitcoin SV is Craig Wright's creation. It's Bitcoin Satoshi Vision, Bitcoin SV, because Craig Wright claims to be Satoshi. And he says this is his original vision for Bitcoin. And now he's literally claiming the copyright for actual Bitcoin and going to give it over to Bitcoin SV. Just to reiterate, the real Satoshi Nakamoto would never want to take control of Bitcoin's code. Even the real Satoshi Nakamoto that could patent and copyright Bitcoin wouldn't want to do that based on what we understand of him, because he wants Bitcoin to be open source and he doesn't want to be known. Like, he went through great lengths to be anonymous back when he was posting things and creating Bitcoin. He did not want anyone to know who he was. And also, he was very giving in the sense that he wanted people to be able to work on Bitcoin as an open source project. He never wanted to claim ownership of Bitcoin, which would prevent people from working on it, because now literally Craig Wright could like sue, I guess, the Bitcoin core developers technically, like, and say, hey, they're using the code that I copyrighted and they're not allowed to. I'm going to sue them. Like, that's possibly coming, because Bitcoin SV and Bitcoin have been in a war, even though Bitcoin won the war a long time ago. Because Bitcoin SV is literally just an altcoin. Some people would call it a shitcoin. It's way down there on CoinMarketCap. It hasn't really gained value since it was created. It lost a bunch of value. And now, even after rallying 100%, it still was just at the value it was when it was first forked from Bitcoin. So maybe this is his attempt to attack Bitcoin. We will see what happens with that. That's just speculation, but I don't see any other reason why he would want to copyright Bitcoin's code. And it's also very dishonest, very immoral, like I'm saying, to do this. So the people that already hated Craig Wright on Twitter are probably going up into a frenzy today. I'm not even on there, but I'm just 100% sure this is causing a frenzy in the crypto space. Unlike Satoshi Nakamoto, who was very kind and very articulate, Craig Wright often gets angry and he bullies people and he trolls people. So it's kind of like the opposite here. It's kind of like the evil version of Satoshi, and it's not the real Satoshi that's going on here. So Craig Wright has already incited a lot of people in the crypto space, especially on Twitter, and now this is just adding tremendous fuel to the flames. Moving on to the next story. After successfully completing their $1 billion IEO initial exchange offering, which is basically like an ICO, Bitfinex is now creating like their own launch pad. It's called Token X, and it's going to make a debut on June 13th. And this is kind of like what Binance did. Binance kind of pioneered it with the Binance launch pad, and then OKCoin and KU Coin followed suit, and now Bitfinex is going to be doing ICOs on their platform, pretty much. That's what it is. They call it IEOs because it's on the exchange, but it's really just an ICO. The reason why companies don't want to use the word ICO is because the United States has clearly said via the Security and Exchange Commission that ICOs are not allowed unless, like, the SEC approves it, but the SEC has not approved any ICOs, and they're probably not going to, at least in the foreseeable future. So ICOs are illegal in the United States. That being said, Binance doesn't allow the ICOs for United States customers, as far as I know. But after the ICO is done on the launch pad, then they allow anyone to trade the coin, even if they're in the United States. So, yeah, they're trying not to use the word ICO, but it is really an ICO. So Bitfinex is launching ICOs. After doing their own ICO of $1 billion right in the middle of a lawsuit with the New York Attorney General's office in the Supreme Court in New York. So Bitfinex has gotten very aggressive. The Supreme Court in New York, well, actually the New York Attorney General's office was pretty much trying to stop Bitfinex because Bitfinex took a lot of money out of Tether's reserves. So just to reiterate the story in the fastest way possible, because I mentioned this on a lot of shows, is that Bitfinex didn't have a bank for a period of time due to losing their bank in Puerto Rico at Noble Bank. And then they eventually found a bank at Deltek Bank of the Bahamas about 2 or 3 months later. But in between, they kept $850 million of crypto capital, maybe even more. And then crypto capital was raided for money laundering by the governments of the United States, Portugal, and Poland. So Bitfinex lost $850 million. Bitfinex responded in secret by taking over $500 million out of Tether's reserves. Tether's supposed to be backed 1-to-1 by dollars in a bank. It's the number one stablecoin. And then Bitfinex went in and took a bunch of the money out of there and wrote like a promissory note pretty much. And then they got a big line of credit. They got a $900 million line of credit to cover the losses at Crypto Capital. And now the New York Attorney General's office has successfully frozen that line of credit. And the investigation and the court case continues. But right in the middle of it, Bitfinex has done a $1 billion IEO / ICO. And now they're going to be launching other people's ICOs too. So this is kind of like adding fuel to the fire over there in the New York Supreme Court. I don't think they're going to like this very much at all. That being said, there is no sign that Bitfinex is in imminent danger from the New York Supreme Court or the New York Attorney General's office. There is a court case, but it seems like it's going very slowly at this point. It caused a shockwave when the case was announced, but nothing serious has happened yet. Yes, they froze the line of credit, but they already charged up like over $700 million before the line of credit was frozen. Then they did that $1 billion IEO. So Bitfinex has plenty of cash, and unless there's any orders from the New York Supreme Court for them to like literally shut down and get out of the United States and stuff, which is, I guess, possible in the future, but there's no signs of that yet. So nothing terrible has happened yet in this court case. It's ongoing, and it is perhaps also possible, if you want to look at this optimistically, that Bitfinex will succeed in their court case and nothing bad will happen to them, and then they'll have this nice launch pad just like Binance, and they'll continue to be the number one Bitcoin to USD exchange. Moving on to the next story. The Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, which is the number one organization for tax collection in the United States, originally issued cryptocurrency tax guidance in 2014, but it was very confusing. Like, literally, people would have to put on their taxes every single trade they did. And anyone that actually trades cryptocurrency knows that they do a ton of trades every day if they're actually actively trading. And it would be very extreme to submit all of that to the IRS. And usually, crypto traders don't even know all the trades they did. So it's kind of like a ridiculous way of calculating taxes. And from what I understand, not that many people that use cryptocurrency have submitted taxes, not at all, because the guidance is so difficult to follow. So even if someone wants to submit their taxes, it would be very hard to do so. It would take a ton of work to submit taxes for cryptocurrency. So the IRS says they're going to issue new guidance soon, including acceptable methods for calculating cost basis, acceptable methods of cost basis assignment, and tax treatment of forks. So the IRS is going to start taxing forks like Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV. And any of the forks that might come along. So if there's a fork, I guess the IRS gets a cut now. But I'll update on this when the IRS actually issues their guidance, because this is a big deal for the crypto space, because all the legitimate crypto companies, especially, they have to pay their taxes or they'll be in big trouble. So This will have implications for the entire crypto space on what the taxes will be. So far, it's been capital gains tax in the crypto space as if it's stocks, which is, I guess, sensible because people trade it kind of like it's stocks, except it makes way more money or loses way more money than stocks. And capital gains tax is like 20-30%. Another part of this story is that the IRS has been hiring blockchain forensics firms. So in the past, the IRS pretty much had no capability of taxing people who use cryptocurrency, even if they wanted to. But now they have blockchain forensics firms, and they'll probably be able to see, to an extent, what crypto traders are doing with their cryptocurrency at any given time. And yeah, they spent millions of dollars on blockchain forensics a while ago. So if someone's going to submit their crypto taxes and not actually make them complete, they could get in trouble. Or if someone's doing a lot of crypto trading and they don't submit their taxes, it's becoming more likely that they'll get in trouble. The only thing that can't really be investigated with blockchain forensics is like Monero, pretty much at this point. Almost everything else can be traced on the blockchain. So the IRS is starting to have an increasing advantage, and now they're going to issue some new tax guidance, and then we'll see what happens after that. Moving on to the next story. So I guess Kraken saw what Bitfinex did with that $1 billion initial exchange offering, and now they're sending emails out to all their users. I got an email that said, hey, if you invest as little as $1,000, you can get a share of Kraken. So apparently they raised $6 million already, like really quick, within 2 days. And they're allowing all sorts of investors. So with Bitfinex's IEO, they only allowed private investors that already hold Bitfinex shares to get their LEO token. And I don't believe Kraken is launching a token, even though it's possible. So I'm not going to confirm that either way. But yeah, they're definitely selling shares of themselves with a focus on small investors with investment amounts of just, quote unquote, I think it's a lot still, but $1,000 is the minimum. And I guess, like, usually selling shares for a crypto company requires a much bigger minimum. It seems like any legitimate cryptocurrency exchange, and Kraken is reputable, can make a ton of money on IEOs. So now we're seeing this becoming a really rapid trend here. Remember, just yesterday we were talking about how Kraken is kind of in a fight with the Canadian Securities Administration. It's like the SEC in Canada. So yeah, they're fighting them over securities regulations, and I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the story that came out today and the sudden initial exchange offering sort of thing. Well, they're selling shares. I don't think it's a token, like I said, but yeah, it's kind of like the same principle. You sell shares or you sell a token. Either way, it's kind of like shares in the exchange, and you get dividends from the exchange's earnings. So yeah, Kraken is suddenly doing this at the same time that Canadian securities regulators are trying to make the requirements on Kraken way more stringent. And Kraken actually stated that they would leave the country. They would leave Canada if this happened. So maybe this money would be used in order for Kraken to escape Canada. If the worst comes to worst and the Canadian securities regulators make regulations way too harsh, that's just speculation. But in the past, we saw like Binance and OKCoin leave China, and they got even better. So that's not like really a terrible thing if Kraken decided to go overseas and start establishing itself across the world. That's not like the end of the world, and it's not dishonest either. I'm just speculating on what might happen if the Canadian regulators really get harsh towards Kraken. And this is not Kraken's own fault that the Canadian regulators are getting harsh. It's actually because Quadriga CX, which was a major exchange in Canada, went bankrupt all at once. The owner of the exchange, like, basically supposedly died in India suddenly, and they said that all the private keys for Quadriga CX were with him. Then the investigation unfolded, and they found that Quadriga CX had lost the money a long time ago, or the money was stolen or laundered away, pretty much, but the owner is still believed to be dead, according to the courts, at least. And yeah, it was a big debacle because no one at Quadriga CX is getting their money back, it seems like. So, like, it's kind of like if Coinbase suddenly had their owner die and they said all the private keys were gone. That's like the equivalent of what happened in Canada. Quadriga CX was like the biggest exchange in Canada, and then suddenly it disappeared overnight. So the Canadian regulators are pretty much interested in getting rid of all the crypto exchanges. So Kraken's under threat here. And if they raise a bunch of money through selling shares and then go overseas, that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a fraudulent or anything like that. It's actually a good idea for their survival. And they're a reputable and good exchange. I don't think they would do any sort of scam. Moving on to the next story. The SEC has delayed their decision on the VanEck SolidX Bitcoin ETF, and this would be a physical Bitcoin ETF. Literally, this would mean someone would buy the ETF and then there's Bitcoins backing the ETF. That would be good for the market because it would allow diversification of stock traders into Bitcoin easily. So basically, anyone that has a stock trading account like E-Trade or TD Ameritrade, they could easily buy the VanEck SolidX Bitcoin ETF. Well, this has been going on for like over a year now. It was In 2018, it was some of the biggest news of the year, and some people thought it would take the market out of the bear market if it was approved, because it would allow an influx of institutional capital. Well, it's delayed again, and I've seen this so many times, it's not even like news to me anymore. So, yeah, the SEC is not ready to approve a Bitcoin ETF, and each time they delay it, they issue a series of questions for the public to answer. And even if like 99.9% of the comments are approving towards the VanEck Solidex Bitcoin ETF, and they answer all of the questions, and like literally, if you try to answer these questions, it's kind of like you have to work on this for a week. They issue like a whole test, and you pretty much end up writing a paper in response to the SEC's questions. So this has already been happening multiple rounds, and people have answered all the questions and issued very positive reviews for the VanEck Solidex Bitcoin ETF. It doesn't matter how many positive reviews or how many questions are answered. The SEC keeps delaying it. So I saw like this crypto lawyer, they call him the crypto lawyer, it's like Jake Chervinsky, said there's a 0.1% chance it'll be approved, and like a 75% chance it'll be delayed, and about like a 24.9% chance that it'll be denied completely, the VanEck Solidex Bitcoin ETF. So nothing's really changing on that front. There is no signs of a Bitcoin ETF yet. That's all I have for you today on the May 21st, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode, or go to Crypto.IQ 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also, join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They've made over 314% profit since July, even in the worst of the bear market. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time, and there's a full trade analysis of each trade. Just by reading the trade analysis, you can become an expert cryptocurrency trader. It gets even better, though. You can ask the Crypto.IQ traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.